It's always a little bit weird standing. I'm quite used to standing and talking in front of people, but since you're not all 16-year-old hormonal children, it's a bit different. you can be, like, if you want to, for some of us. so it's quite different to what I'm used to. So as you were just sharing just then with Ken, doing a little bit of stepping out of your comfort zone, this is pretty much me this morning, but we have a good God. We have a good God. We've not been around for a while. We have really missed being here. A couple of weeks ago, we were on football duty, which was lovely. And last week, we were on our way back from Wales, which was a very eventful few days, which I will share shortly. But like I say, it's very good to be here. And I just want to say thanks to Ken, because everything you brought this morning, it really touched me, but actually was... It's amazing how Spirit knows what we want to talk about on a certain day, doesn't he? Because things he's even used a word that has my verse in for today, one of your songs there. And preparing, so Mark Sharp asked me a while ago, was it Mark, January time, to share? And I said, okay, what do you want me to talk about? He's like, what do you want? I'm like, okay. But we're following a series on the ways of Jesus. And so I've been just asking, saying, Lord, what do you want me to share? And he's been dripping things into my spirit and what to share. And different things have happened to kind of confirm that. And then, obviously, all the songs you brought this morning kind of carried on that theme. And I was looking on the church website because I thought, you know what, I've not been around for a couple of weeks. So what I'll do, I'll just have a little listen on some of the talks I've missed. So I managed to get through to Mark's message a couple of weeks ago. And it just blew me away. You said in that you wanted it to be some teaching, not just a sharing. It was a teaching, and I came away having learned so much, so thank you. And for those who may not have heard it, please go back and listen to it, because it was amazing. And if you don't mind, I'm going to quickly, kind of briefly, and so tell me if I'm wrong, or don't tell me if I'm wrong at the end of it. So, if I might have completely missed the point, but you're talking about the time that Jesus went into the wilderness, and we always kind of relate that to our time of Lent, so 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. We think of that as we come up, build up to Easter. But his time was his preparation for his ministry. It was during that time that the devil tried to tempt him, so he aimed. And you were talking about those parallels in his time in the wilderness and the time the Israelites spent in the wilderness. And those three times that he was tempted, how Jesus responded with scripture, quoting God, and that with each time it was a direct link to when the Israelites didn't quite get it right. Yep. It describes that despite all of the signs and wonders that the Israelites saw, all the 10 plagues, the freedom from slavery, the manna from heaven, just God's provision every day, pillars of fire. It's like you don't see that every day. Having new bountiful lands being prepared for them. And yet they still grumbled. They were still complaining to Moses. And they didn't... You read that and think, how are you not trusting God? When you see that, when you think about it, like when I was reading, when I was listening to it, I was thinking, yeah, that's why. It's a bit weird. But anyway, each time where they failed in the wilderness, where they kind of got it wrong, Jesus' response to the enemy was succeeding, and he overcame those temptations. And while he did that, and then you were talking about it being redemption, in him overcoming those temptations, there was redemption in that. So obviously, do go back and listen to see as I kind of makes a bit more sense than what I'm trying to share now. But I wondered, Jesus did that, and he was fully human. He was fully human in him, in his response. And it just come from being baptized, and he, before all the people in front of him, God had shouted down from heaven, "This is my son, who I am well pleased." So he went knowing who he was. He knew his authority. He knew who his father was. And he did that all, like I say, being fully human. And what I was so blessed about is that when I was thinking about what I was going to bring, is my word for this year, when we made those kind of bookmarks a few weeks ago, is that God knows, Jesus knows. One of his ways is him knowing, and that we can also let him know who he is. And knowing he knows all things, so we don't need to worry. So I'm going to go into that and explore that a little bit more. And so when I think of the ways of Jesus, when I was kind of first thinking what to do, I was like, imagine all these beautiful ways, how he was so full of love, so kind, so patient, so peaceful, even in his dealings with really difficult people. He was just so good and so kind. And then I think about, how can I be like that? Because I know I've already got it wrong this morning, and that's, you know, it's only 10:30, 11 even. And so how quickly I think, I've screwed up again. How can I do it? And the truth is that I can't do it on my own. I can't do it in my own strength. We say thank God for grace, don't we? And when I think of how the Israelites got it wrong, like, but they saw all these things and they still get it wrong. Like, how can I do that? But actually, we have a God who loves us. We have a Jesus paid was the perfect sacrifice. So he stood in that place for us, so we can have that relationship together. Last week we were driving around in Wales, and Tim was talking about things I might be talking about today, and said, and part of the conversation I just mentioned Jesus being a Jew, and a little voice popped out from the background saying, he wasn't a Jew, he was a Christian. Love, Joel. And so we were explaining, actually, the word Christian comes from being like little Christs, being Christ-like, being followers of Jesus Christ. And Tim added, he said, if ever I was asked if I was religious, I would say, no, I'm not religious, but I'm a follower of the ways of Jesus. And that's something, I didn't say it to you then, but I don't think I've ever heard you say it like that. I don't think I've ever heard it said like that. I would often say, I'm not religious, but, excuse me, I have a relationship with Jesus. And I was thinking that those two things have to go together. You can't be a follower of Jesus' ways and not want to engage with him. You can't have a relationship with Jesus and come away unimpacted by his goodness and his ways. It is a transformation. It's a transforming kind of contract, as it were. When you spend time with someone you love and you care about, you rub off on each other. And we can have that relationship with God, who knows everything, and we can rest in that and receive peace for when those things are hard. That he knows best. He's got it. We are like, it'll be okay. And I just want to read from, so bear with me as I try and sort my iPad out. I tried to think of a way of making it easier, but not succeeded. So the passage I wanted to share this morning, which I've now lost, is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this version is from the Message version. And it says, whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, I just love this, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We are free of it. All of us, nothing between us and God. All of us, nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Living personal presence. All of us can have Without God, there is no constricting legislation. We are not bound by the law. Through faith, we can have a relationship with the personally present God who is with us in those situations that refine us. And I was thinking about one of the other versions of this, which I'll go on to find. This is the Passion version. He says, "And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of God, the Lord Jesus." New King James version. When I find that one, I also love, and we've sang today. "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So when I'm there having a little panic, I can't do it, I'm rubbish, I'm screwed up again. It's not about me. I can't do it on my own. We can trust in a God who is with us always, and sometimes those steps from glory to glory are baby steps, and that's okay. So I was thinking of this refining process, and I've heard it many times. I had to double check, because then I tried looking at how to refine silver. All the scientific things came up and it kind of blew my mind a little bit, and I was like, oh, I can't find it. I'm sure there is a way that makes it a bit easier to understand. And I asked him, and he's like, okay. So I found this really lovely passage. If anyone wants to read this, I will send it to you later. It's really nice, but it kind of discusses the process of the refiner's fire, and how when they're trying to get silver and refine it, how they got the ore and they first had to break it up. And then it was placed into this crucible, this heat-proof crucible. Well, it wouldn't melt while it was in the fire. And then it was heated to extremely high temperatures. As the metal is melting, all of its impurities are separated and they rise to the surface. And that part, which is called the dross, the refiner takes it out off the heat and kind of scrapes away all that bad stuff. Now, it isn't a one-step process. It's I've got to do it again. And it goes back in the fire and the heat is turned up and the impurities rise and it's scraped away. And then it goes in again. And it's to the point where they only know they've succeeded when they can see their reflection undistorted in that silver. And that is when they know it's finished. And that kind of process is often linked to that passage, how we can become like mirrors where we reflect the glory of God. And it's not in our own strength that we do that. That metal in the refiner, like in that fire, didn't refine itself. It didn't do it itself. The refiner had to come in and they scraped it away. They were with it. They were in that process with them. It didn't do it by itself. And when I kind of keep having this little panic, going, I can't do it by myself. It's like, so that's okay. Here I am. I know. So I'm going to share a bit of a story, and I'll come back to this shortly, but need to give it seen a little bit. My love comes from Sheffield. He pretty much has the Peak District in his DNA. He's built in it. He and all his family, they love walking. They love walking holidays. They love adventuring. They love climbing. Tim loves reading a map, don't you? They all love it. I am from a northeast London town called Barking. Woo! Yeah, not a someone asked to be. But I'm an urban girl. So much so that when my sister moved house and it was on a slight incline, we all laughed because heaven forbid she might have to walk it up it one day. It was not a hill. If we look, now that I've lived in up north for over half my life now, it wasn't a hill, but we laughed about it. We make jokes saying, oh, don't go on a hill. We don't like hills. That's where I come from. We're very different. But, and on our very first date, Tim was absolutely mortified that where we were sat nursing a little park, which was flat. You were horrified at the idea of me having lived in Sheffield for 2 years and never been to the Peak District. Kind of hindered by the fact that I don't have a car, but also, why would I go there? Why would I do that? So it was that afternoon, sunny, very hot July afternoon, Tim decided he was rectifying that issue then, right then. So he's like, right, let's go. I'm like, what? But obviously, I was like, I really fancy him, so I don't really want to like say no. And he takes us to, we go to Burbage Edge, which if you haven't been before, it's a short walk up a hill, and there are huge boulders to climb. I'm wearing floaty skirt, because it's summer, and flip-flops. I was not ready for climbing this mountain. It wasn't a mountain. It's not a mountain. I know it's not a mountain. Don't worry. I'm exaggerating. However, there I am, absolutely horrified. And Tim's like, oh, I'm impressed. She's climbing these boulders in flip-flops. And I'm like, but nonetheless, it worked. We're still here, aren't we? 18 years on. And since then, I remember going out by my first pair of walking boots because we couldn't keep going out in my pumps. Could every time he tried taking me out on these walks. And I've got braver and braver as this time's gone on, and the children love going out walking now. And I say I've got braver until last Friday. Now, we were in Wales, in North Wales, near Port Baddock, and we drove out to Port Bedgellert. The weather wasn't very good, but it was the best of the days we had. So it was just a bit drizzly. And this time we actually left with all the right gear. Even Jumble had a new coat, so our dog. And with Jumble, we have to damage control because he is in everything. So he had himself a nice new coat, and we were ready to go. We cross this little bridge. We find a sign for the footpath, and we're all going. And then get through the first gate, and then off my family all disappear into the wild. I'm like, okay. Now, I love telling a story. I love trying to make them sound funny. And I like adding a bit more drama to it. But I will not exaggerate or embellish the fact that when I say they disappeared up a mountain, they disappeared up the mountain. They didn't disappear up, slowly, gradually, nicely. It was vertical. That's how I can remember it. It was just vertical up. And within 10 minutes, I was hugging a mountain, crying my eyes out, because I've never been so terrified in my life. I was literally like this. When Tim was trying to help, he was having to do this. It was that kind of climb. And yeah, it was horrible. It was probably one of the worst moments of my life. And I was had to be, we had no ropes, which I really wish we had. I'd already climbed enough to kind of show my adventurous spirit, to see how far I'd come. But not, and I didn't want to put the boys off. I've always been very mindful that the kids can't take on my worry or my fear of things. So I just have to kind of stand there and just go, oh my God. Now, so I'd already climbed too much. I'm trying to be brave. But I knew I felt I was too high. And I didn't know where to put my hands and feet. Tim's telling me stuff and I'm just like, I was clambering, hoping wouldn't fall, hoping the children wouldn't fall, hoping the dog wouldn't push someone off because he's just running around. And I'm just absolutely shaking, just absolutely terrified. And it's not because I was afraid of heights. I'm okay with heights. I was okay of not being able to get help, be of any help, or be helped should something heavy happened. And my head was absolutely racing. So all this time, the boys, dog and Tim were all bounding about this mountain like mountain goats and probably not fully comprehending just how afraid I was. And I was genuinely thinking, I think I might have to text my mum and dad and tell them I love them. I was thinking, I don't have a spare hand to get my phone because I need to hold on, and I don't think I can even deal with the replies and them panicking because dad would get in the car, get to Wales, and then probably be in the same position of me on the side of the road going, I can't help. So So I felt really alone and isolated, and it seems ridiculous now. They always say hindsight's a lovely thing or a funny thing. It's not helpful at the time, is it? But, and sometimes you wish you had that foresight. But, and now I can go, I did it. I'm still here. I'm talking now. But I knew that at that point, I had no choice but to go up. There was no way I was going down. No one could get me off that mountain except for me. I had to take those steps. I had to do the climbing. And I just had to pray that Tim knew the rest of this journey and hope it was own. I knew at one point it was eventually going to get to the top and there's going to be a down somewhere else. And while Tim was offering help, my not so Christ-like inner monologue became my outer. And my words of love and affection for him were temporarily paused. So he had to just leave me to it. But I was praying so hard, and I was like, God, I need you to get me off this mountain. How many times have we been in a situation with our own mountain and we've like, God, just take me off. Just take me off. I cannot testify today that a hand plucked out of heaven picked me up and went, there we go. But he said very clearly, let's do this together. I am here. I know your fear. Here I am. And I think in that moment, I thought, I think I know what I'm talking about on Sunday. So I made it to the top. I've got a photograph of me on the summit with a very insincere smile. But could I deny the beauty of what I saw? No. There was even a rainbow. I was like, but there was a rainbow and it was beautiful. And fortunately, the descent was much easier. And I was actually able to have a conversation with everyone after that. I had to hold on to the fact that God told me he knew, that he was with me, and he told me to trust him. It was, he knows my fears and worries, and it is in those times that we can make a transaction saying, God, here is my fear, give me faith. Tim and I often talk about quick panic prayers being like grabbing an arrow, shooting to heaven and hoping for the best. And when things come our way, we often think, oh, just quickly pray. And that's good. We do need to pray. We're told to pray continuously. But as we go through these refining moments, these processes, and this, you realise that actually, when we know God knows, that panic can go. We don't need to worry. And those panic prayers become peace-filled intercession. Effective warfare. The songs this morning were all starting with declaring who God was, who he is, his goodness. And that's how I really feel to need to start each day. I could stand here all day going, oh, I can't do it myself. I can't do this. I'm always getting it wrong. But it's not about me. Look to God, praise him, trust him, know he knows. I saw something a while ago on Instagram, and it said something along the lines of, so don't quote me on it for word, but it said, if you think you've messed up too much that God cannot use you, don't worry, you're not that powerful. So what I kind of want to talk to say, actually, is when things are hard, we have a God who knows. When we feel we're not getting it right, we have a God who knows. We can rest in that. When we are afraid, we can exchange that for faith with a God who knows all those things, all those fears. Sometimes things that hold us back, like if there's sin in our lives, and the enemy will go out of his way to make us feel ashamed of it. But you know what? Jesus knows you've already done those things. When your children come to you and that you've heard the crash, and then they come to you and they go, "Oh, mummy, I smashed this," and they've got that worry, you say, "I already know. It's okay. We can fix it." He already knows, so we can confess something with a gracious God who loves us. We don't need to feel ashamed the way the enemy would want us to. So just as I close, I'm just reminded of the verse from Romans 12, verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That we can take our eyes off ourselves, we can look up, trust God, and know that he has got so many possibilities for us. I love that he's got a good, acceptable, and a perfect plan. He's got multiple plans ready for us. That whatever way we go, he's with us. He's like, "Okay, we'll do this now, that's fine." And that always reassures me because he knows more. He knows better than I do. So, Jesus was able to take on the wilderness and the temptations of the enemy because he knew his Father. He knew who he was. And for us, knowing Jesus, knowing that he knows everything anyway, that he knows us inside out, he chose us, we also can get through those refining moments. It's not in our strength, but his grace. I think I'm just going to pause that there, if that's okay. I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so good. You are trustworthy. We can place our hope in you. Father, we thank you that you have gone before us and you have our backs. Jesus, there is nothing hidden from you. Where you are, your light is shining. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Lord, we want to walk in that. Father, fill us with faith that we can take those steps, holding your hand, climbing up that mountain face, that we don't need to worry. Lord, for our mountains, Lord, we hand them to you. We make that transaction. We thank you, Jesus, that you promise you are always with us. And Lord, when we feel we're not getting it right, help us and guide us to look to you and your goodness. That while we can't do things in our strength, through you we can do all things. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your goodness. And we just love you so much. We thank you for this, being able to trust you in these things, because we can't do this. And things are hard, but you are with us. And we thank you that we just continue to give you praise. We thank you that you are always praiseworthy. In all things, you are good. Father, we ask for that work in our hearts, that we will be ever changed from glory to glory, that we may become more like you, with you living in us and you shining off of your face being reflected of us, not for our glory, but to display your splendor. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't go anywhere. Hang on. You can go if you want. You can stay here. I don't mind. Kat said something really interesting when she was up on that mountain. Well, actually, God said something interesting to her. So we're going to do this together. This is a holy moment right now. I really feel that. There's something in this moment. You know, when you read in Genesis the story of Moses being stopped by God at the burning bush. You know, this is not a holy moment because we're sat in a church building. It used to be a pub. There's plenty of very unholy things went on in here. But that was a holy moment. Now, you don't have to do this. I'm going to take my shoes off. Because I think we are standing in the presence of God. Or sitting. And this message that Kat brought this morning, I'm sure there's some people here that really needed to hear that. He cares about what you're going through. And it might not be as immediate and terrifying as being stuck to the side of a mountain and feeling like you might fall off. And it might not be what Jesus went through when he knew he was going to the cross. But he says, I see you, and I know your fears, and I know your worries, and I am with you in it. What a message. How incredible is that? And the amazing thing of it, going back to what Kat said at the start about the refiner's fire, is that all of this is a process for us of reflecting his glory more. So whatever we're going through, however hard it is, the end result is that we reflect his glory even more. What a thing to cling on to. So I just want to, I know Kat's prayed, and I don't want to take away from what she's brought, because it was just perfect. Holy Spirit is in that. But let's together grab hold of this opportunity. We're on holy ground. The presence of God is here. Right? I feel it anyway. I don't know about you. But this is a moment to partner with God. Right? So maybe you came in here with no worries this morning. And if that's you, then God bless you. Tell me what it's like. I don't think I've really ever felt that. Because there's always something in there. Whether it's big or small, there's always something that's, how are we going to get through this? What's next? That's how my brain goes anyway. But I want to partner with God. I want to face the worries and the fears of today and tomorrow and next year and the year after and whatever happens after that. I want to face that stuff, not on my own, but hand in hand with the Almighty God, who refines the dross out and who brings us into glory with him. What an incredible message. So, Kat's already prayed. I'm going to pray again, but I really strongly encourage you to get on board with this. Father, thank you for that promise that we partner with you. Thank you that you bring us into your glory, that as we cast our crowns before you, you just keep on sticking them back on our heads. Whether we deserve it or not. In the flesh, we don't deserve it. But you say we do. So Holy Spirit, whatever anyone in this room is going through right now, and their friends and their families, and all of the stuff that surrounds that, we ask right now that you would bring us your peace and your reassurance. That you'd speak into the storm, into the chaos. And that you'd help us move forward, knowing without a shadow of a doubt, with that peace that passes all understanding, knowing that you are sovereign, that you have a plan. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you don't have to speak it out, but just take a moment to hear Holy Spirit. And it might be that something's popped immediately to mind. Or it might be that you have to ask, what am I praying about this morning? What am I praying about here? But take this opportunity. Don't let it slip away. This is a moment to ask, what do I need to get through? And how are you going to help me do that? Thank you that we don't have to face this stuff alone, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Like we sang earlier, my chains fell off. My heart was free. Anyone want some of that? They're not always physical chains, are they? They're the things that hold us to our fears and our worries. But in the name of Jesus, those chains come off. And we're set free. Thank you, Jesus. Stay in that moment if you want to. If you want to grab hold of someone and ask for some prayer, then do that. We're going to have tea and coffee. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to be together. We're going to encourage each other. And we're going to face the fears that we have, knowing that we have an almighty God. Right? And that we've got each other. Praise God. What a blessing it is to be able to come to a place where there's loads of people who are on your side. Isn't that brilliant? Not everyone has that, you know. So enjoy that. Enjoy the family that God's given us here. And enjoy the truth that He calms the storm. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.